I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
A former FBI agent confirming and corroborating to the House Oversight Committee key details of what the IRS whistleblower Gary Shapley said in testimony about the alleged cover-up into Hunter Biden's shady business deals, the influence peddling of the Biden family. The committee says that the agent told them how both the Secret Service and the Biden transition team were tipped off about their planned Hunter Biden interview the night before. And on the day of the interview, federal agents were told to stand by and not approach Hunter Biden.
That is as clear of an interference as you could have into the IRS investigation of Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, the entire Biden family, when it comes to money being received by foreign entities and countries. Clearly, bribery money paid for an extortion or favors, things of that nature. Larry, you don't know that for a fact. I'll accept that. But now we have an FBI agent that is going to confirm everything these two whistleblower FBI agents, IRS agents have been saying, and not, there are more than two of them, by the way. We've been focusing on two, and there's going to be a hearing coming Wednesday. And another is going to be introduced, has been known only by Agent X. We'll come up on that in a moment. Thank you for joining us again. Here we are, July 18, 2023. I remind you every day, Monday through Friday, at noon, we have a live stream. We're on various platforms. You can't miss us. You can go to rumble.com, enter in Larry Connors USA, or News Talk STL. That'll take you right to us live in studio. Or you can go to News Talk STL, Facebook, News Talk STL, Twitter. We're on all of those. And, of course, we're on Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Twitter. Those are five different ways you can get us. And if you can't get it live because you're busy with something else right now, I understand, then you can always pull it up later. And, of course, don't forget our 6 o'clock report, which we love doing for you every evening, bringing you up to date, the 6 p.m. Larry Connors USA Daily Report. So here we have at this point a note to all of these leftists who have been insisting that all of this stuff about the IRS agents claiming that they were denied the opportunity to pursue Hunter Biden and ask legitimate questions when they've got bank records in front of them. Bank records and SARS reports, suspicious activity reports stating there's some money coming in and out, and we don't know who it's going to or where and where it's originating. It looks suspicious. That's why it's called a SARS report, a suspicious activity report. Banks are required to make a statement that they're seeing these. It's primarily intended to catch drug trafficking, money laundering, things of that nature. But caught in the snare this time is a Biden family. But of course, since it is a Biden family, if you raise the SARS report at your bank, put it down, put the flag down. We're not going to bother looking. And of course, the left has been saying this is all a GOP political trick. The FBI, in their opinion, was and always continues to be lawful. It's done nothing to interfere, nor has the IRS. It's all been basically accepting and ruling under our Constitution, not under political persecution as directed by the White House or anyone else who is anti-Trump, anti-conservative, anti-Christian, anti-Jew, anti-American. All of this is just more talk. Well, Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona says we have a hearing scheduled tomorrow. We're going to get some details.
The agent has confirmed two important aspects of it, and it's the theme of the whole thing of this investigation. Number one is the Biden family itself and their dealings, and so he's corroborated everything from the transactions that took place. The other thing that goes on is the actual interference by Department of Justice into that investigation being conducted by line IRS agents and other line agents, that they basically came in and stopped search warrants from being executed. They tipped off Hunter Biden's attorneys and the Secret Service to prevent him from being interviewed by these line agents. And then they have the audacity to come back and say, let's stand down. We're not going to go in and do any of this stuff. So he's corroborating of what the IRS whistleblowers have said as well. So this is being corroborated throughout and being ignored by the Democrats and the left. But the reality is this is becoming more salient, there's more gravitas, there's more weight to this all the time. And that's what we're going to see tomorrow when we get these whistleblowers in front of the Oversight Committee.
I want to reemphasize something because I know it's hard to hear sometimes. You were hearing him refer occasionally to these line agents, line, L-I-N-E, those on the front line. To your ear, you might have thought he's talking about these lying FBI agents, these lying IRS agents. No, he's talking about the frontline agents who were in charge of the inquiry. So I just want to make sure you understand that's what he was saying, because I have to admit, when I first heard it, I thought, what did he just say? So I think it's worth clarifying for you. I don't want you to operate under any misconception. So we're going to have former FBI agent, IRS agent Gary Shapley appear and testify. And we're also going to have the so-called Agent X, who has not been identified by name, because he had already seen, and I say he, they've acknowledged it's a he, already acknowledged the evidence that there's retaliation. I've seen what's happened to the other whistleblowers. I don't want to go public like that, but I'm at a point I'm going to have to make the information public. And now I'm probably going to have to go in front of the committee tomorrow because I want to make sure the American public knows what's happening. Again, Congressman Biggs.
I think we're going to see on the actual investigation side of it, they're going to corroborate that there were 20 different shell corporations, multiple accounts, millions of dollars coming through, being laundered through those accounts. They'll corroborate the suspicious activities reports and that Joe Biden was the big guy. I think they're going to corroborate that. And that gets to the other part. They're also going to talk about the slow walking and the interference that they were not even allowed to interview Hunter Biden, and that when they believed him to be the big guy, they were basically told to stand down. The optics are bad. We can't go in and investigate. And they basically pulled the plug on this investigation. So it's going to be dramatic corroboration of much of what we've heard, but they'll expand on it.
They're going to expand on it. And when you're being told to stand down, you cannot carry out your investigation. What more evidence do you need that there's interference? Well, we're going to go investigate. We need to go ask questions. No, 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 no. You can't ask who's the big guy. You can't ask what does that term mean. And in fact, just stand down. Go get a cup of coffee, maybe some donuts. Take a vacation. Well, they didn't. They continued to persist, and eventually they got shut down. Oh, they weren't being penalized? No, 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 no. There was no retaliation. Didn't fire them directly. Transferred one. And then when he reports to D.C. for his assignment, he's given a notice that you've been suspended. Well, now you're caught between where you left the home and you're trying to get into home and your goods are in transit. You're not getting any more money while you're suspended. Good luck with that. That's not retaliation. Come on. Can't you take a joke? This is the way these people are playing. So what about this Agent X? There's been a lot of noise from the left that they keep calling him Agent X because they don't really have anybody. We're going to find out that there is an Agent X. And I will remind you that not once during every single time when Adam Schiff was overseeing when he had control of the House and carrying out the inquiry into Donald Trump about he had a witness, but he never gave you a name. I have evidence, but he never gave you any evidence. No, this is going to be played out fully transparent in public, on TV, and to that extent, Congressman Comer, James Comer, who is overseeing the House Ways and Means Committee. What about Agent X?
We're calling him Whistleblower X. He has provided under oath a transcript. I've read the transcript where he sat with the Ways and Means Committee for multiple hours and answered questions. Now the American people are going to get to hear firsthand what these two credible IRS whistleblowers have to say about what laws, if any, were broken and what was done to obstruct their investigation. Now, I think it's going to be very important because most of the mainstream media did not cover the Ways and Means transcript. Very few people in America have read that. I've read it's over 400 pages, but it's going to be much more easily digestible to see on TV what these whistleblowers have to say about what exactly the Bidens were doing and whether or not they paid taxes and whether or not they got off scot-free.
Good questions, right? Did they get off scot-free? Now, when this takes place in front of the Congressional Oversight Committee, I need to remind you, the committee is composed of both Republicans and Democrats. Every committee has to be set up like that. And the ruling party is the chair. Now, currently, the House is controlled by Republicans. So that's why Comer is the chair. When the Democrats had it, Adam Schiff was the chair. So Comer, the Oversight Committee chair, now says, we're going to find out more from Agent X. We're going to get more understanding and information. And it's at a point now that the American public says, put it in front of us. We've been shamed before. We've been scammed before. We've been misled before by Adam Schiff and the rest of his troop. What are you Republicans trying to pull over our eye? Well, the Republicans are going to be forced to show their cards. There's no more bluffing at this point. You're just going to have to put the information right out in front. And Comer again on the whistleblower IRS agents, what they expect to get out of them, very clear.
These two whistleblowers, they were the most credible, highest-ranking IRS employees in the Criminal Investigation Division. This is the A-team for the IRS. We are going to hear from them, and we have a lot of questions. As you know, Sean, we've obtained bank records. We've obtained information that shows that the Biden family created an extensive number of shell companies or fake companies for the sole purpose of laundering money, and we get the term launder from six different banks that filed reports with Treasury that said the Bidens were laundering money. So we finally have experts that are going to testify under oath as to whether or not laws were broken. If so, how many? Which laws? And we're also going to see whether or not the government has stepped in to obstruct a formal investigation if there was a cover-up by high-level officials in our federal government. So I think this has the potential to be a very informative hearing for the American people.
May I add it to has a tendency and the opportunity to be a bombshell, extremely explosive. But I want to give you balance. I have views and opinions. I share those with you. But I have a basic fabric to be fair with you and give you equal balance on some things here. There are allegations that Congressman Comer, you're just listening to, that he himself has been compromised. In what way? It's not clear. Leftist state-controlled media only needs a thread, a sniff, and suddenly it's fact in their viewpoint. It builds on their narrative. You're walking past an area and you smell something, and you keep walking. Well, what was that? Well, as far as they're concerned, you just sniffed out a real big conspiracy. You didn't go back and check on it. So again, they're going to treat it like fact. Now, I want to let you hear from former White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki, now with MSNBC getting a lot of money. chasing that rumor to the ground, chasing it and these unbiased sources with Congressman Jamie Raskin, Democrat.
So how concerned are you that James Comer was the chairman of the committee, was knowingly, unknowingly working with, co-opted by a foreign agent?
I'm just concerned that the House Oversight Committee, which has a very proud history with, you know, Congressman Waxman as chair, the great Elijah Cummings of Maryland as chair, is suddenly being compromised in a really serious way.
Jamie, this is so tiring. They did this to Trump. Nothing was there. They're saying this to you. It's almost a joke, but they make these accusations. How do you respond? Are you an agent?
I want to know. No, I am not an agent. You can look at my bank accounts. I disclose my taxes. I've never received money from foreign agents all across the planet like the Biden family has. But look, they've always gotten away with just making stuff up, and the press doesn't ever fact check them. Thank you for fact checking them. And at the end of the day, what is one thing that I've produced in this committee that they dispute? Because we have the Biden bank records. We have the Biden bank violations. We're fixing to hear from IRS employees who are leading the charge investigating potential crimes. So I want to know, where have we said one thing that wasn't true and wasn't backed by evidence?
The answer is nothing. And I loved it when Jamie Raskin started talking about all the great chairmen of the Ways and Means Committee and how they've carried things out. He omitted Adam Schiff, the last one they had, because he was a blow-up doll that fell apart. And of course, now there's word coming out again that they're pushing that Donald Trump has been told that he's going to be the target of a January 6th investigation. When are they going to realize you've run that to the ground? There's nothing there. Well, they're going to continue pushing it because what else have they got? Oh, but we still have some other cards to play as well. Biden has said repeatedly, I never had anything to do with my son's business. Never took any money, didn't get interfere in any way. But I want to take you back to 2018, when Biden was addressing a committee and talking about, at that time, a Foreign Relations Affairs Committee, bragging about how he went to Ukraine with $1 billion of U.S. taxpayer dollars and said, you're not going to get it unless you do what I want.
I remember going over convincing our team, or others, to convincing us that we should be providing for loan guarantees. And I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to the press conference. I said, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours. I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. They got fired.
The same prosecutor investigating Burisma, which involved Hunter Biden. Fire me, you don't get $1 billion. That's an easy enough deal. That was 2018. State-controlled media never has questioned that action or made a big deal out of it. Coming up, a federal court ruling on woke predators attacking our children. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. I called a Wellington. A crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 844-644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So there are about 20 states in the nation that have passed laws prohibiting state health care providers from performing so-called gender-affirming surgeries and medical treatment. Tennessee had one of them, but it got enjoined by a district court saying that violates the Constitution. A few days later, the Sixth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals struck down that and said the volunteer state could continue to enforce its ban on gender medicine. Joining us now, Sarah Parshall Perry, legal analyst with the Heritage Foundation. Sarah, glad to have you on board again.
Thanks for having me.
I was looking at a piece you wrote for the Daily Wire. It's an opinion piece, but you are a legal expert. You believe, by looking at the headline, that this law and striking down the gender-affirming care and making bans acceptable will stand. Based on what?
Well, I'm going to tell you that there have been a couple of challenges here in the federal trial court. But what a state has is the ability and the interest in regulating the practice of medicine within its own borders. And we've seen a number of states pass these laws preventing modifications or hormonal intervention for individuals who are under the age of 18. Now, does a parent have an interest in directing the care and medical sort of supervision of their children? Yes. But the Supreme Court has never said that there is a fundamental right to achieve experimental medical treatment. And this, I think, is going to be the crux for a lot of these issues in the end. Whether or not a state can limit a parent's right to achieve this, quote, gender-affirming care because a state has an interest in looking out for vulnerable populations.
May I take that to the other side very quickly? Does it also stand that the state cannot prevent a child from getting the surgery if the parents don't want the child to have it?
That's a great question. If a parent says that my minor child wants to have this procedure, but I don't want them to have it, a state, or at least one that interprets this law correctly and understands the Supreme Court statements on parents' rights, would say, you know what? This parent is trying to protect their children from experimental, dangerous treatments. And so in that instance, on the other side of the coin, those parents who are refusing to get this treatment would, in my view, probably be successful.
You point out in your piece, and again, you're listening to Sarah Parshall Perry, a legal analyst for the Heritage, in a piece you wrote for DailyWire.com. You point out that the judge, the Middle District of Tennessee, who had blocked most portions of the law back in June, said that it interfered with a parent's due process right to direct the medical care of their children and violated equal protection because the law discriminated based on sex. The Sixth Court disagreed?
Yes, they did. And they disagreed for good reason, not the least of which was, first of all, it didn't discriminate on sex. It treated everybody the same based on sex. They, of course, tried to argue that treating individuals with gender dysphoria or transgender individuals was a form of sex discrimination. Well, no court, no federal court has ever held that, and the Supreme Court certainly hasn't. It treats sex as a distinct class of protect individuals. And this individual court said all individuals, regardless of sex, are treated the same. So there's no equal protection violation. But what's more, is there is no violation of parental rights because we've never said that there is a fundamental right to experimental medical treatment on which there is no medical consensus. They did the right thing here, and my hope is that in the 11th Circuit, where a very similar law is currently pending, that federal court will reach the same outcome.
I want to take it a step deeper, but before I do, I don't want to leave the issue of reference minor. The states would have the right, and they have in the past, to change laws as to when minors can purchase cigarettes, liquor, drive. What if they decide in some of these states, we're going to lower the age to 12 years old?
You know, that's a great question. I think those particular states are likely to see challenges possibly all the way up to the Supreme Court. Now, it's within a state's interest, obviously, to change its own laws. And the Supreme Court's been very careful not to institute its own sort of wrangling in state affairs. Routinely, those questions of contract, for example, and health are state matters. But the Supreme Court has also said, listen, we have to care for minor vulnerable populations, and the standard there is in the best interest of the children.
Well, what's considered minor vulnerable? That's the issue. In one hand, I don't know how you actually define. I know how I define it, but I mean, I don't know. I can see how states can get around that. Is it not true still that in Louisiana, 18, 19 year olds could purchase liquor? I don't know what the law is now. But, of course, they couldn't in another state. They could also maybe get a driver's license that maybe they had to be 19 or something in another state. Or you could go on at 16 or 17. I mean, you're going to either allow the states to make these kinds of laws or you're not.
Well, that's exactly it. And, yes, a state has an interest to make laws regarding its own citizens. But if it has sort of routinely disregarded what the Supreme Court has said about minor children and their inability to contract, to consent, to understand the consequences of their action, that is when the Supreme Court is likely to say that the state has acted outside the bounds of authority and is likely to jump in.
We have seen similar cases reference, be put on a lung machine kept alive when maybe the one parent decided the child should be allowed to go and the other one didn't. And, you know, the child had no way of speaking and they may or may not be 18 or under. We have seen how some of those go. Is there anything to be gleaned from those cases?
There might be something that's illustrative in those particular cases as well. But again, the state's likely to look to what it has said overall about the parent-child relationship and about the state-child relationship. While these are generally state matters, there is probably going to be consideration of what a state can do when parents are not acting within the best interest of their children, when they are seeking something for their children that could be dangerous, that could be damaging or detrimental. States all the time are going to be passing laws, making issues like this more and more sort of popular. They'll see more, I think, controversies on this particular case.
And we're talking about life-saving, and we have seen groups come together and say, we're going to fight to keep that child alive, even if the parents say we want them off the ventilator.
Correct. That's exactly it. But again, when we're dealing with questions like that, again, the state will look to standards on child welfare. It will make a determination as to whether or not it is in the best interest of the child and whether or not those parents can act in that child's capacity if the child is incapacitated. In the end, decisions about life-saving care for minors will ultimately fall to the child unless there's some kind of legal documentation indicating a difference of will on the part of that minor child.
What about a medical decision that the child truly has dysphoria and this is critical for them?
Well, we hear a lot of that right now in the mainstream media. We've even heard a lot about that from some of the major medical associations like the American Endocrine Society, the American Academy of Pediatricians. But these are studies that are not supported by the best available evidence. They have not been performed correctly. And Europe has taken a completely different tack, saying that there has not been appropriate research done, that we're not using evidence-based approaches on the treatment of gender dysphoria for minors.
And why are we ignoring what Europe is doing?
Well, because this is highly politicized. You know that as well as I do. This is ultimately a battle for the heart, soul, and mind of America's minor populations. And we're using children as the wedge issue going into the next series of elections. This particular administration has gotten further left of center than I think any of us anticipated. So we're likely to see more of this in the future.
So my next step is, do we see either or any or all of these hitting the U.S. Supreme Court?
Oh, there's no question. In fact, as I anticipated, there would be. And in an interview with Bloomberg recently, I anticipated these cases would likely go to the Supreme Court on an emergency petition. Well, the Sixth Circuit in Tennessee actually ruled on an emergency petition. Why? Well, that's because these issues, health, safety, welfare, parenting, are real high stakes issues, and the Supreme Court is not going to want to let this go too long without taking up the issue of what a state can do and what a parent can do. These are issues that have to be reserved and resolved in the very short term. So we are likely to see something fairly soon if there is a circuit split.
In the last 30 to 45 seconds, so if the parent decides, yeah, I'm all for my child having that, and then you have groups coming forward saying, no, they should not be doing this to this child, the parents' rights versus the public complaint.
That's exactly it. And the parents don't have a right to seek experimental, dangerous care for their children.
But they're not looking at that. They're saying this is what my child needs.
Sure, sure. And that's exactly what we saw the plaintiffs say in this particular case as well. But the federal appellate court said, no, you don't have a right to experimental, dangerous care.
I want to thank you very much. You're so good at succinctly analyzing this. As always, we appreciate your expertise.
Well, thanks for having me on.
We'll do it again. Sarah Parshall Perry, Senior Legal Fellow with the Heritage Foundation. It's frightening what some are going to try to pull off. And as she said, it all comes down to being politicized. That's what it is. What parent wants their child to undergo that? If your child is having true dysphoria, get them help, but that does not mean rushing them to puberty blockers and into surgery. Coming up, the Supreme Court made a ruling on student loans. Joe Biden says, I don't give a damn. Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis, a place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com, AllenOutdoorSTL.com, or call 314-647-4800, AllenOutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This
is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
More bad news for President Biden's latest attempt at a student loan bailout.
Yeah, after trying to wipe out about $39 billion in debt last week, a new model from Penn Wharton predicts that the president's new proposal to his income-driven repayment plan will end up costing taxpayers nearly a $500 billion over the next 10 years. Queen John Pierre issuing this spectacular non-answer when pressed on the issue today. Watch.
The reason why we're able to do this, the reason why we believe this is being done in a responsible way, and let's not forget, we can afford to give middle-class Americans, middle-class families, a little bit of breathing room, as you hear from this president over and over again. And so, and it's because the progress that we have done to make sure that the deficit is coming down.
No, it's not coming down. It is amazing how they just put the same record on. And they think you're going to just going to buy it. If they say it over and over and over, finally you're going to absorb it like you can't get anything else in your head. The deficit must be coming down. Listen, let's go back over this again on the Supreme Court ruling the other day, the end of last month. The court ruled 6-3. The Biden administration does not have authority to wipe out nearly $500 billion in student debt, $500 billion. That denies relief to about 40 million Americans who were going to have about 20,000 max in student loans erased by using the plan. Now, if they owe a lot more than 20,000, it's taking a big cut out of it, but it's not wiping out all of it. So the next step is, well, then, well, let's go after the rest. Let's relieve the rest. And then what about those who paid their student loans? Are they going to get their money back? Oh, no, of course not. What about those who did not go to college because they couldn't afford it or they couldn't get the loan? You going to do anything for them? No, of course not. But they're all middle class, and Lunch Pail Joe says we're taking care of the middle class. Listen, the numbers, according to the latest stats, as you were hearing there, it would cost the American taxpayer $500 billion. $500 billion. Does that bother you? Is there anything else we could spend $500 billion on? Give people some housing, help people get jobs, even if they don't have a degree or they have a degree but they're still trying to work it off? Are we suddenly going to say, you know what? You really shouldn't have to pay a mortgage on your house. What the hell? You can just own it. So all the people that have invested in mortgage companies that have made the advances, the monies, everything else, who gets stuck with that? Well, again, there's going to have to be a bailout. We'll have to do it for the American citizen. Too big to fail. We've been through that. Congressman James Comer of the House Oversight Committee, but again, pointing out to you, the House is where all appropriations bills originate, not the executive office.
The Supreme Court's already ruled on this. The president doesn't have the authority to do something like that. Congress appropriates money. Sean knows this very well. The president does not. We've already been through this once. This is another stunt by Joe Biden. And you mentioned the national debt. Joe Biden doesn't care about the debt. This is something that throughout his whole career in Washington, D.C., he's kicked the can down the road. And the children and the college students, the very people that he claims he's trying to protect in this, they're the ones that are paying the price for the Democrat spending spree.
That's exactly true. Now, you know, ironically, the argument made before the court should have also blocked the Obama health care plan, because that money also should have originated in the House, and it did not. But the Supreme Court at that time, under the Obama administration, with Chief Justice Roberts making the prime decision that, no, this is not really an appropriations, it's some other kind of animal. That should have been stopped at that point. You know why we are at this point? Because of what I emphasized over and over again as we were going into this last election. Well, let me go back before that. Between Hillary and Trump, I pointed out over and over again, I don't care how you like or dislike Trump, think about the Supreme Court nominees, their opportunity to put people on the Supreme Court. And I thank God every night that Trump, by God's providence, was in place to not put just one or two, but three judges on the Supreme Court. Oh, well, Larry, you wanted all conservative judges. No, I wanted those who are going to follow the Constitution. They're not always going to rule the way I want, but if they're following the Constitution and they can provide the backing for it, so it goes. But the left doesn't see it that way. Any ruling they don't like, then the court has got to be wrong. And that's what you've got the president doing now. He is ignoring the U.S. Constitution, which says the House comes up with appropriations. The executive office does exactly what it's entitled to under the Constitution. The Supreme Court makes its ruling on what's constitutional. And unless you're going to pass a new law, that's it. Again, back to Roe v. Wade, when that decision was made by the court, what did the Democrats start hollering immediately? Well, let's just basically mandate it by the White House, executive order. So then the Constitution means nothing unless they can use it for themselves. And here's something else. The Constitution says that the president should be helping protect our country. He swears when he takes the oath to protect our country from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And then he immediately opened up the borders. And we have uncounted millions that have come into our country, unvetted, not checked really for health reasons. And this story is beginning to push to the top now. There's a report in at least 44 states over the last year, 44 states over the last year, according to the Health and Human Services Department, that nearly 2,500 children in those 44 states have been documented with tuberculosis infections. The government says it can't treat the children because they're in custody for only a short time. Treatment requires 3 to 9 months. They're not going to hold them that long. So they're letting these infected children go to sponsors and notifying local authorities, hoping that they try to arrange something. They may or may not. First of all, they don't know where many of these kids are. 126,000 children, 126,000 children have been released into this country, and that's a minimal number that we actually know. And we don't know where 80% of them are. So they're not getting treatment. They're in the midst of your school, the midst of your children. And TB was not an issue for this country. We basically wiped it out, except for an occasional case. And there are going to be other diseases coming forward. We talked about this when all the border crossings started. And, of course, the only thing that put a stop for a while was Title 42 under the Health Department using that because of COVID. But again, these unaccompanied alien children, UACs as they call them, under the law, the Homeland Security must discharge the children quickly and send them on down the road. They're supposed to be getting additional help. They're pushed into crowded shelters if they're taken care of at all. They're released into various communities. They may or may not be living with a relative. They may or may not be thrown into a sex den, and it's going to be carried forward from there. You know, I have not had time to report it, but there's been a spiking increase in syphilis in Houston. 130 cases in just the last few weeks, and many more than that. Why? I would track it immediately directly back to illegals coming in, no proper containment, no proper concern about health issues. And how many of them are going to end up being children? and now tuberculosis. How soon before your doctor calls you after you take your child in and says, your child has TB, we need to start a regimen of treatment? Don't even bother asking where do they got it, because they will never be able to find where. Coming up, a Democrat says we need to reopen the cocaine case at the White House. A Democrat from Illinois saying that. I'll have that story. Plus, the Government Accountability Institute says we've learned a lot about the FBI and FBI director's congressional testimony last week. We learned not good, the bad, and the ugly.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Chris Ray's testimony, he was asked about their relationship with the tech companies, and he flat out denied any sort of relationship whatsoever. Said, we don't push for censorship at all. So he was denying not just this kind of a report, but also all of the previous ones where, you know, we've got the Twitter files. We know about Elvis Chan, and we know about what they were doing with Yoel Roth at Twitter.
You have to tell people what that means, because they don't know what that means.
Everybody knows about ahead of the 2020 election, Twitter was pulling down the New York Post, pulling down the stories about the Hunter Biden laptop.
They do know that.
That was driven by a guy out in the California field office, Elvis Chan, who was an FBI guy. And he was at meetings, regularly meeting with Yoel Roth, the guy head of Twitter safety. There is direct collusion. We've got the documents. We've got the emails to prove it. And Chris Ray, just this past week, goes in front of Congress and says, we've never done that. I don't know anything about that.
We don't know anything. Oh, I've never done that. You were listening then to Seamus Bruner, who is with the Government Accountability Institute. Now, I want to make sure you understand that is not a government agency. It is a conservative think tank. I always want to give you the balance. And he's appearing on the Drill Down podcast, the Peter Schweitzer podcast. And according to the Government Accountability Institute, it was set up by Steve Bannon as a tool for transmitting partisan dirt digging and questionable opposition to mainstream media. That's the way it's written in Wikipedia. Now, whether or not that's an actual fact, I don't know, but I'm not going to let you just be told the statement and his remark without giving you context. But he is right, in my opinion, as to we got nothing out of Ray. And for him to say, well, I didn't know anything about that. You're the head of the FBI and you don't know that stuff? Then we have another issue. And of course, this cocaine issue inside the White House. By the way, we're going to spend more on the remarks in that podcast about what Ray did or did not do and what the FBI did or did not do and what they knew and what they didn't know coming up in our second hour. But then we also still have this issue hanging over the White House that they want to just ignore. They can't wait for winter when they have snow and they say, when you talk about snow, are you talking about what's falling outside? No, we're talking about what they found in the locker, that snow. Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy, I might have mispronounced it, I apologize. Ethnicity, India. He was born in Peoria, Illinois. He is an immigrant family. He represents Illinois' 8th District, which includes Chicago's west and northwest suburbs. He's a ranking member of the Select Committee on the Strategic Competition between the U.S. and Chinese Communist Party, making him the first South Asian American in history to lead a congressional committee. And this Democrat from Illinois said, the investigation of the cocaine brought into the White House needs to be reopened. He said the White House needs to be in a place where, quote, we know exactly what's entering and what's leaving exactly in terms of substances such as this. Because she was asked by an interview exchange, well, are you happy with it? She said, no, I hope they continue with their investigative tactics of trying to get to the bottom. And she said, just to be clear, it's ended. It's over. And he said, I hope they reconsider and think more about what can be done. Thank you, sir. As a Democrat, as an American, I thank you for saying we want an answer. Don't just close the door and say, well, we don't know. We don't know. They know. Did they ever ask Hunter directly? Did you bring it into the White House? Did they ever ask him that? Then they didn't have any investigation. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.